Well, take your Bible, if you will, and turn this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. In my 28 years here at Grace, I have taught verse by verse through all but two of the books of the New Testament. This morning we begin our study of the only Gospel account I have not taught through yet, the Gospel of Mark. Now, to set this book up for you, we need to spend some time this morning looking at its background with all the pertinent information. And then I need to tell you the fascinating story of the man this gospel is attributed to. Writing as moved along by the Holy Spirit, God entrusted four men with the privilege of putting down on parchment the biography of Jesus Christ. Each of the gospel accounts give us different perspectives on the life of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew presents Jesus as the promised Messiah, the Christ. Matthew 1:1, he presents him as the coming king, Matthew 2:2. The gospel of Matthew is very Jewish in its message, revealing Jesus as the star that would come out of Jacob, the scepter that would rise out of Israel, and the one who would sit on David's throne, Isaiah 9, verse 7. The gospel gives great revelation of the kingdom, of the type of life we're to live in the kingdom, as citizens of the kingdom of God. Kingdom living in the present, and the literal kingdom on earth to come. In Matthew, Christ's genealogy is recorded from Abraham to Joseph, making Jesus the legal heir of the throne of David.
The Son of Man.
The book ends with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man, a messianic title from the prophecy of Daniel 7, verse 13, and as the Son of David, Luke chapter 3, verse 31. Luke features, or he focuses, I should say, on God's incarnate humanity,
chapters 1 and 2,
giving us the details of the heavenly announcement of his incarnation and his birth in chapters 1 and 2. Luke is the only gospel that gives us a glimpse into Christ's childhood years. The genealogy in Luke begins with Joseph as the husband of Mary and traces Christ's ancestry through Mary's bloodline from the line of David, making Jesus the biological heir to the throne of David, and all the way back to the first man, Adam.
The book of Acts.
Luke ends with the promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit and continues in Luke's second volume, the book of Acts.
Co-equal and co-eternal.
John presents Jesus as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. John's record is doctrinal in nature, with an emphasis on the deity of Jesus Christ as evidenced by his claims and his miracles. The genealogy John records is short, but complete in recording Jesus as co-existent with God the Father from eternity past. John's Gospel highlights the riches of our salvation. The Gospel of John ends with the promise of Christ's return, which is prophesied in John's later writing of the book of Revelation. In our Gospel, Mark,
in Isaiah,
Mark presents Jesus as the
Jesus
suffering
humbled
servant
God
prophesied about
himself
in Isaiah
to do the
53.
Will of his Father and to reveal
Jesus humbled himself. God humbled himself and came to do the will of his Father and to reveal the perfect love and grace of God
to
mankind.
But to serve. And
this is clearly seen in his own
for
words, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served,
there is no
but
genealogy
to serve,
recorded
and to give
in
his life a ransom
Mark,
for many. That's Mark 10:45. There is no genealogy recorded in the Gospel of Mark because
Mark
the servant's genealogy was insignificant
and
not
and
worthy of being recorded.
Of the disciples at the resurrection
Mark ends his Gospel with the utter shock and amazement
Savior.
Of the disciples
so
at the resurrection and
different
of their Lord
complementary accounts
and their
of the
crucified
life of
Savior.
Jesus Christ in the
and so we have four very different and yet complementary accounts
do,
of the life
the Bible
of
is
Jesus
the
Christ in
the inerrant,
canon of Scripture.
Infallible, all-sufficient Word of God.
Now, if you believe as
well,
we do
know
that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant,
written
infallible, all-sufficient Word of God,
places,
well, then you know how these four independently written histories written at different times
author.
And
the
in
Holy
different
Spirit,
places stand together
writer,
in perfect
moved
harmony.
Along each writer to write
it was
what
the
they
divine author,
their
the Holy Spirit, who superintended each writer,
to
moved along each writer to write what
We've
they did
in the
using their unique
Matthew's
personalities
history.
To communicate
looked
the
at
truth
Luke's
of
history.
God to us.
And John's history. This morning,
we've looked in
we
the past at Matthew's
study
history.
Of Mark's history.
We've looked at Luke's history.
Now, in terms of
and
New
John's
Testament
history, this morning we begin our study of
the
Mark's
Gospels,
history.
You need to
now, in terms of New Testament chronology,
written. There were already
the Gospels,
other New Testament books.
You need to understand
existence.
We're not the first
For example,
books
the book of
written.
James.
There were
Letter
already other
they
New Testament books in existence. For example, the book of James. The letter
There's
of Galatians,
yes,
they had been written before any of the gospel
of
accounts were put down on
James
parchment.
Was written.
There's
that
reasons for
first.
That. The escalating persecution of the new believers is
for
the reason James was written.
Their life for the sake
that
of
comes
the
first. It
and
provided
the book of
much encouragement for those
right
fearful of losing their life for the sake of the gospel.
The
and then we have the book of Galatians. That was necessary right up front because the first major heresy to hit the church
so that needed
came
to be
from the Judaizers
right so
who added man's works to the grace of God and salvation. And so that needed to be addressed right away. And so Galatians was written to protect everyone from the false gospel of works righteousness. That
simply
the Judaizers
there were
many,
preaching. Many eyewitnesses
the gospel accounts
alive,
then were written later.
Been
simply
Jesus,
because there were many, many, many eyewitnesses
miracle.
Still alive.
The last apostle
who'd
John
been with Jesus
died
in his ministry
AD.
And his authenticating
but the
miracles.
The gospel accounts began
the last
showing
apostle
up
John
around
died after 90
the first
AD.
Century.
But the gospel
so
accounts began
before
showing
the four
up
gospels
around
were written.
Midway through
there were
the first
many
eyewitnesses
century.
So get this.
The life
before the
Jesus
four
Christ.
Gospels were written,
some of
there
them
were many eyewitnesses
were written down, those testimonies,
to the life of Jesus Christ.
You'll remember that in Luke's Gospel,
some of them
he refers
were written
to
down,
such a
those
man
testimonies.
In chapter 1, verse 2.
You'll remember that in Luke's Gospel,
he
refers
his
to such a man in chapter 1, verse 2.
But as
a man that he writes
had seen
his
Christ
compilation
and
of notes
with Christ
to.
And experienced his ministry began to die
but
off
as
in the middle of
the
first
the men
century,
who had seen Christ and walked with Christ and experienced
history,
his ministry began
be
to die off in
so
the middle
Holy
of
Spirit
that first century.
Four men
it was
for
crucial
the
that definitive
Matthew,
history
Mark,
be recorded. And so the Holy Spirit
John.
Selects four men
by the way,
for
the
task.
Early church
There's
fathers
Matthew,
never accepted
Mark,
any other
then Luke,
writings about Jesus
then John.
Christ as authoritative.
And by the way, the early church fathers never accepted
other.
Any
the
other
about
writings
Christ
about Jesus Christ as authoritative and
else.
Inspired Scripture. None
in time,
other.
Of course,
the truth about the life of Christ
of
comes from these four gospel accounts
with
and nothing
false
else.
Identification, such as the gospel
in time,
of
course,
of
all kinds of spurious Gospels appeared with false identifications such as the
all
Gospel of Peter and the Gospel of Thomas.
Satanic. They were all,
they were all Gnostic. They had
the
that in common. All anti-God.
And undermined
Satanic.
The but from the beginning,
they were all forgeries written with
the
same purpose to confuse people and undermine
Mark,
the truth.
Luke, and John
but from
the
beginning, the universal testimony
accounts.
Of the church was that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the only legitimate gospel accounts. And they have
Our
withstood the scrutiny of scholastic efforts through the 2,000 plus years since they were written. Their harmony is supernatural because they had one single divine author, not a common
gospels,
source.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke
that they copied from
are known as the synoptic.
Now understand that the first
gospel.
Three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke,
from time to time,
are known as
the
synoptics.
The word synoptic comes from a Greek word meaning
gospels.
To see together.
You'll hear me say that from time to time.
Called synoptic
the word synoptic
because
comes from a Greek word meaning
to
see
another.
Together.
And even though each had his own distinctive
called
emphasis
synoptic
themes,
because
the synoptics
of their similarities
much more
to
in
one
common
another.
Than that. They
and even though each had his own distinctive
Christ,
emphasis and
right,
themes,
and
the synoptics have
content,
much more in common than that. They follow the same general
sense,
outline of Christ's life, and they are similar in content,
another.
Structure, and
the Gospel of
perspective
John
in one sense,
one of the
differing points of view from another.
Are so
the Gospel of John is not
a large
one
amount
of the synoptics
of
because
more
its
than
90% content and its
of his
purpose are so
is not
different.
Found in the synoptics.
John includes a large amount
so
of material.
Of John
more than 90%
of
his gospel is not found
not
in the synoptics.
Of the synoptic. Gospel.
So the Gospel of John is indeed a gospel, one of the four Gospels, but not one of the synoptic
Gospels. Then Mark in the late
50s gospels.
Or early 60s.
The Gospel
right
of Matthew was written between 50 and 60 A.D. Then Mark
Peter
in the late 50s or early
60s,
either right before the martyrdom of Peter, while accompanying Peter in Rome,
Peter
or immediately following
60
his martyrdom.
Somewhere around 60
killed
or
under
61,
Nero, Peter
Luke
was,
writes his
67,
gospel,
68.
And then later in 90,
somewhere around
John
60 or 61,
gospel.
Luke writes his gospel,
unlike
and
Matthew's
then
gospel,
later in
which
90,
is written to a Jewish audience,
John writes
and
his
Luke's gospel,
gospel,
which was compiled
unlike
for a
Matthew's gospel, which is written to a Jewish audience, and Luke's gospel, which was compiled for a specific individual. You'll remember he
Mark
was called
was
the most excellent
for the
Theophilus. That's Luke 1,
Rome,
verse 3.
Written to the Gentile
Mark
believers
was written for
Rome.
The Gentile believers
we know
of
that.
Rome.
We know
written
that
to
Christ,
the Gentile
we know that
believers
Mark's audience was clearly
in Rome.
Non-Jewish.
We know that.
Reason for that. For example,
we know that Christ, or we know that Mark's
Aramaic
audience was clearly non-Jewish.
That
there are several reasons
three,
for that.
Five,
for example,
seven,
he translates Aramaic terms
he
for them.
Explanations
we see that in chapter
3,
5, 7,
they were Jewish, they
14,
know they
and 15.
Jewish. They didn't fully
he
understand
provides
those,
explanations
that
for Jewish customs that if they were Jewish, they would know they weren't Jewish. They didn't fully understand those. He does that in chapter 7 and chapter 14 and
like
15.
Christ's genealogical
he omits
records.
Certain elements of particular interest to Jewish
Testament
readers, like Christ's genealological
gospels.
Records.
And
he includes fewer Old Testament references than do the other synoptic gospels. And he
we also
calculates
know that this
time according to the Roman
because
system
of Mark's
of
use of Latin expressions in the place
we
of
also know that this gospel was written for believers in Rome because
five,
of Mark's
six,
use of
12,
Latin expressions in the place
he
of their Greek equivalents.
A man named Rufus,
you see that in chapter
15, 5, 21.
6, 12,
he is the
15.
Son of Simon of
he also
Cyrene,
mentions
a
man named Rufus, chapter 15, 21. He is the son of Simon of Cyrene, who was a very prominent member
the claim
of the church,
of the early church
in Rome.
Fathers that Mark's
Romans 16, 13
tells
us that.
From Rome
and that supports
the
claim of the early
Rome.
Church fathers that Mark's
now,
gospel was written from Rome
for
the believers
that comes
in
to
Rome.
Mind when we think about the gospel.
Now, typically,
Matthew, yes.
Mark is the last gospel
Luke, yes.
that comes to
John,
mind when
course.
We think about the gospels.
Mark typically comes
Matthew,
in last
yes.
place, and it's typically last.
Luke, yes. John, of course,
because
Mark typically comes in last
so
place, and it's typically last because
in content.
Because
it is in the completed canon of Scripture.
It's so
it's been
minimal.
Accepted in the completed canon of
in
Scripture.
Content.
So there's no question is that. That tells us that it's
it is in the completed canon of Scripture. It's been
gospel,
accepted in the completed canon of Scripture. So there's no
the
question is that. That tells us that it's
Jesus,
just as important as the other gospels. But because it doesn't contain the same number of discourses of Jesus or contain the same number of same amount of theology as the other gospels, it's often overlooked.
In mind.
You'll remember, however, that they are all written with a different purpose in mind.
And this gives us the
purpose of this
gospel account.
Verse 1.
Most commentators believe that this was also the original title for the gospel. Look at verse 1. The beginning.
Most commentators believe that this was also the original title for the gospel. Look at verse 1.
The
beginning
of God.
The beginning of the gospel
again,
of Jesus Christ.
Most commentators
Christ,
think that that's
the
original
the
title
of
for
God.
The gospel. Now, in the
again,
structure
most
of
commentators
gospel, that
think that that's the original title for the gospel.
The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, in the structure
of
Mark's gospel,
God,
that theme to articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
And so this book reaches its climax halfway through the 16th chapter
to do that.
In chapter 8,
and
verse 29,
so this
Peter
book
responds
reaches
to Christ,
its climax halfway through the 16th chapter history. In chapter 8, verse 29, Peter responds to Christ's question, who do you say that I am? And he triumphantly declares, you are the Christ. That marks the central point of this
book.
That's the highlight of Mark's gospel. So what comes before this doctrinal high point builds up to
it. The first eight chapters demonstrate,
and what follows flows from it and continues to build on it.
Words and his
the first eight chapters
deed.
Demonstrate that
those
Jesus is the Christ on the basis of his authoritative words and his miraculous deeds.
The final
those
eight
miracles, sign gifts, always authenticating
on his sacrificial
the message
death
of the
and
speaker. The final eight chapters
everything in this book
are
centers on the
based on his
truth
sacrificial
that
death and glorious
Jesus
resurrection.
Is the Christ,
but everything
is
in this
Son
book
God,
centers on the foundational truth that Peter proclaimed. Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, and he is the Savior of the world.
Servant. That's a
direct now, to support that claim,
Isaiah chapter
Mark presents Jesus as the suffering servant.
He
that's a direct reference
on the other hand,
from Isaiah
Christ's
chapter 53, verses 10, 11, and 12.
Emotions. He talks about
he emphasizes,
one,
on the other hand, Christ's humanity,
nine,
including his human emotions. He talks about that in chapter 1 and 3
remember,
and 6 and 8 and 9. And he speaks
and
of his human limitations.
Attributes.
You'll remember he limited himself
in
the use of his divine attributes. We see that in chapter 1, 3, 5, 9, 12, 13, 14, 15.
His humanity is emphasized.
That's where he highlights, I should say, his deity.
Christ's divine authority is
evident. His humanity is emphasized. His deity is emphasized.
See that? In chapter 1 and
Christ's
three,
divine
and five,
authority
and seven, and nine,
is evidenced in his power over demons.
Gospel,
we see
over
that
sin,
in chapter 1
Sabbath,
and 3
over
and
the
5 and 7
nature.
And 9. Over disease, we see that throughout this gospel.
So
over sin, over the Sabbath, over the forces
emphasizing
of nature.
Both the humanity of Christ, of Jesus,
so it's
and
obvious
the
that he is emphasizing both the humanity of Christ, of Jesus, and the deity
servant,
of Christ.
Suffering servant.
And he does that
now,
as he portrays him as the suffering servant.
Where did this man named Mark
servant
learn all
now, the question that comes up is, where did Mark,
where
did this man
from?
Named Mark
and why
learn all these details about the life of Christ?
To him.
Where did he learn this from? And why is this gospel account attributed
to
him?
It's possible, likely.
Well, there's no question that Mark was a follower of Jesus Christ.
He knew someone who
had
perhaps been healed by
Jesus. It's possible, likely, that he heard him preach.
His name is listed nowhere in this book.
He knew someone who had perhaps been healed by Jesus.
Identifies himself as
his name is listed nowhere in this book, but then again, no author of any of the four Gospels identifies himself as the author.
Appears in Matthew,
the story of Matthew's conversion and Matthew's inclusion among the apostles appears in Matthew, but Matthew never states his name.
John, while appearing
Luke never appears in his gospel at all, nor does he claim to be the author of it.
Nevertheless, never refers to
John while appearing in his gospel because he's an intimate apostle of Christ. He nevertheless never refers to himself as John, but always by some other descriptive, like
the
one whom Jesus loved.
And
so no gospel account lists the author's name, and we presume the reason was because these authors wanted to give the glory to Christ, not themselves. They wanted the story to be about Jesus, and so they remain anonymous behind the history of the one who should receive all the glory and honor due his holy name. MacArthur writes, as many others do, the universal testimony of the early church confirms that this gospel was penned by
Mark from someone else.
But
the closest disciples,
the bulk
of
the material
Christ,
here came from someone
else. Peter.
one of the closest disciples of Jesus Christ, none other than the Apostle Peter.
Between AD 95 and 140,
early church Father Papias of Hierapolis, writing somewhere between AD 95 and 140, explained that Mark's content was derived from the sermons of Peter due to his close relationship with Peter. According to Papias, Mark, having become the interpreter of Peter, wrote down accurately whatsoever he remembered. It was not, however, in exact order that he related the sayings or deeds of Christ. For he neither heard the Lord nor accommodated him. That was Papias' perspective. Afterwards, he accompanied Peter, who accommodated his instructions to the necessities of his hearers. Explain that in a little bit. But with no intention of giving a regular narrative of the Lord's sayings. Wherefore Mark made no mistake in thus writing some things as he remembered them.
He had heard,
for
and not
of
to put
one
anything
thing he took special care.
The statement.
Not to admit anything
Second
he had heard, and
Justin
not to
Martyr
put anything fictitious into
Mark's
the statement.
As the memoirs of Peter.
Second century apologist Justin Martyr also described Mark's gospel as
later
the memoirs
like
of
Irenaeus,
Peter.
Origen,
and suggested it
Clement
was composed by Mark in Italy.
Echoed similar
later
sermons.
Christian leaders like Irenaeus, Origen, Clement of Alexandria, they all echoed similar sentiments.
Gospel,
the 4th century church historian Eusebius of Caesarea suggested that Mark wrote his gospel at the request of Peter's hearer. They requested of Mark, seeing that he was Peter's follower, to leave them a written statement of the teaching given them verbally, and they did not cease asking Mark until they had persuaded him, and so they became the cause of the scripture called the gospel according to Mark.
What had been done,
they say that the apostle, knowing by the revelation of the Spirit to him what had been done, was pleased at their zeal and ratified the scripture for study by the churches.
So Mark could put it down on
the Holy Spirit prompted Peter to understand that he needed to give this material to Mark, so Mark could put it down on parchment for all of us. And so whatever the specific reason
that
prompted Mark to write his gospel, the uniform
Peter,
testimony of early tradition affirms that Mark is the author, gleaning from the preaching of Peter, and most likely composing
so
his account while in Rome for the benefit of the believers who
were there. What is the connection
were there
between Peter and
so the question then
what's
is
the connection?
What
is
the connection between Peter and
so
Mark? What's
12.
The connection? This is where the story begins to get interesting. And so turn to Acts chapter 12.
Let me quickly give you the context here.
Acts chapter 12. Let me quickly give you
the
context here.
The Gospels end with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ brings
the
story Gospels
of Christ
end on earth to an end.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ brings the story of Christ on earth to an end.
40 days after
the book of Acts, then, which picks up the history and is written by Luke, begins with Jesus spending 40 days after his resurrection teaching his disciples things pertaining to the kingdom of God, getting them ready to fulfill the commission that comes in chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my
earth.
Witnesses,
you know,
both in Jerusalem and in all,
you know,
Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest
both
part
locally,
of the earth.
Then a little
you notice,
far out more, and then further,
you know, the circles of
the
regions there
of the
expanding.
Earth.
Both locally, then a little far out more, and then further, and then to the remotest part of the earth. Jesus teaches his true followers for 40 days about life in the kingdom, and he teaches them about the coming kingdom to earth that will take place at the end of the age. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon them.
So in the first 12 chapters,
he empowers them for that ministry, and the gospel is launched. And so in the first 12 chapters of Acts, the story is told of the progress
13,
of the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea,
13,
and Samaria. And then, beginning
the
in chapter 13,
well, by the way, the predominant
beginning in chapter 13,
in this first 12 chapters
The dominant, well, by the way, the predominant preacher in this first 12 chapters is Peter.
From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria.
The focus is on Peter as the predominant preacher in these first 12 chapters, taking it from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. The second half, the dominant preacher taking the gospel to the remotest part of the earth is
the
Apostle Paul.
Focusing on the preaching and ministry.
So the book of Acts splits into two sections.
The Apostle
first half focusing on the preaching and ministry of Peter. The second half focusing on the ministry and preaching of the Apostle Paul. The first half is in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. The second half is to the remotest parts of the earth, fulfilling that mandate that I just read from chapter 1, verse 8. So when we come to chapter 12, we're at the end of the more public ministry of the Apostle Peter. Peter has dominated the apostolic preaching of the gospel. He's dominated the growth of the early church in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And he is now about to fade from the scene as the Apostle Paul steps into the light for the expansion of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Look at verse
1.
So,
the first half of the book of Acts is closing as we come to chapter 12.
Well, you've got to stop right there.
Look at
to
verse
figure
1.
Out what time? What's he talking
now,
about? Well, go back
about
to verse 27,
that time.
And we
well, you've got to stop right there to figure out what time. What's he talking about?
One
well, go back to verse 27, and we learn that some prophets had come down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus. He stood up, began to indicate by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine all over the world. There's a famine coming, prophesied by the inspiration of God. There's going to be a need to relieve the distress of those in the church at Jerusalem. You'll remember, when most of those Jews came to Jesus Christ, they lost their jobs, their reputation.
Those
so the church had to meet together in homes to support one another.
To collect a collection,
so
gather a contribution,
those believers in the church in Antioch determined
to
collect a collection to gather a contribution and send it to Jerusalem to be distributed to the believers there to help them through this famine. That's the setting of
Acts
chapter 12. The church in Antioch sends the collection in charge of that man named Barnabas,
so
known as the encourager,
about that time,
and
well,
Paul
that's the time,
to the
right
elders
there.
Of the Jerusalem
famine,
church.
The time of the
so that's the time.
Antioch,
about that time, well, that's the time right there. It's the time of famine, the time of the gifting
Paul,
coming from Antioch
to the elders
at the hands
of
Barnabas and Saul. He's
we
called Saul at this point.
At
this is
time,
Paul,
verse 1 of chapter 12,
to the elders of
a man
the church
named
in Jerusalem.
Herod Agrippa,
we learn
an Idumean
that at this time,
Rome,
verse 1 of chapter 12,
and
a man named Herod Agrippa, an Idumean educated
Jews,
in Rome,
he knew the Jews
and,
could
and in an
from
attempt
office,
for this leader
to gain favor
with
the
Jews,
Jews,
he knew the Jews could remove him from
something.
Office if they complained about him. To gain favor with
the
Jews.
They're hated by the Jews. And by Jews, I mean.
By this time, the church is hated.
The Jewish leadership.
They're hated by the Jews. And by Jews, I mean predominantly the Jewish leadership.
The king laid hands on some who belonged to the church, two followers of Jesus.
So, verse 1, about this time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church, two followers of Jesus Christ, in order to mistreat them, to abuse them.
He
wants to make it as possible, as painful as possible. And so, verse 2, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword.
His persecution of the
now, he didn't stop there.
Verse 3,
when it was obvious that
the
Jews supported him in his persecution of the church, verse 3, it pleased the Jews. He saw that. He proceeded to arrest Peter also.
So James, the brother of John,
it was during the days of unleavened bread.
Martyr.
Getting a time reference
here. Stephen, not an apostle.
So James, the brother of John, is the first apostle martyred.
That if the Jewish
Stephen, not an apostle, has also been martyred.
Let's kill
and the thinking being that
so
if the Jewish authorities approve the death of one apostle,
the Jews,
let's kill another one.
Peter
and so they arrest
it was
Peter.
The
verse 3.
Bread,
when he saw it pleased the Jews,
him,
he proceeded to arrest
Peter
also. It was during the days pieces of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put Peter into prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him. Intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people.
Herod puts Peter under 24-hour
Jerusalem at this time is packed with pilgrims there for the feast. Herod puts Peter under 24-hour surveillance.
There are four squads of guards.
He's handcuffed, chained to
these
guards.
He's chained to
there
them
are four squads
time.
Of guards watching him 6 hours at a time.
Herod was.
He's chained to them this entire time.
Because you
and that simply tells you how fearful Herod was
for the purpose
of this new church, because you had these apostles performing miraculous sign gifts for the purpose of authenticating their message.
Released from
so
prison.
He was concerned that these guys would do some kind of magic trick and get Peter released from the prison.
Stormed Peter
he wants to keep him hidden. He wants to keep him away from the crowds. He doesn't want the prison stormed, Peter taken by his disciples, and obviously he can't do this during the feast because during the feast the people could get upset and then he'd have those people to deal with. Rome would be upset with him, he'd lose his position.
They will try him in an unjust trial and then they will kill him.
When the feast is over, obviously... They will try him in an unjust trial, and then they will kill him.
But prayer for him was being made
fervently
by the church to God.
The church is praying for Peter. Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God.
This is the end of Peter's life. He's about to kill Peter.
Verse 6, on that very night when Herod was about to bring him forward... This is the end of Peter's life. He's about to kill Peter. People, Peter is sleeping between two soldiers.
He's bound with two chains.
Bound with two chains. So he's chained to two different soldiers.
That's how closely
he's bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. That's how closely they were guarding him. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared. A light shone in the cell. He struck Peter's side, woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." His chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself, put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow.
That what was being done by the angel was real. He was seeing a vision. He had seen
and he did not know
perhaps this was another
that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. He had seen one earlier. He thought perhaps this was another vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has set forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people."
And then watch this.
And from all that the Jewish people, verse 11, were expecting. And then watch this.
Stupor, he's figuring this all out.
When he realized
this, he went to the house of Mary.
Coming out of this stupor, he's figuring this all out. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John,
and praying.
Who was also called Mark.
That we meet Mark.
Where many were gathered together and praying.
For the first
it's here that we meet
when
Mark,
he knocked on the
known
door
to
of the
you
gate,
as
you know the
John,
story, the
Mark,
servant girl named
for
Rhoda
the first
came to answer
time.
When she recognized Peter's
when
voice.
When he knocked on the door of the gate, you know the story, the servant girl named Rhoda came to answer when she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy. She didn't
but
open
she kept
the gate.
Insisting it was
she
so,
ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said, "You're crazy."
Now, why they would not
but she kept insisting it was so. They kept saying, "It has to be then an angel."
Fervent in prayer.
Now, why they would not invite the angel
not
in, I mean, they're,
it could be answered, apparently. This,
when it says they're fervent in
they
prayer,
they
were fervent
mind,
in prayer.
Saying it's an angel, Peter continued
not
knocking.
Believing it could be
when
answered,
opened
apparently.
The door, they saw him and
they
were
said, "You're out of
amazed.
Your mind." They kept saying it's an angel,
motioning
Peter continued
to them
knocking.
Silent,
when they had opened the door, they saw him and were
and
amazed.
Said, these things to James,
motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison, and he said, "Report these things to
James. Here
and
the
brethren
that
he left
and went
to
the church
in
Jerusalem at this time, who later would be
this James here. So is the half-brother of the Lord, the head of the church in Jerusalem at this time, who later would be martyred.
Prayer meeting.
So get this.
The fervency, wrote watching all of watching this. All of this is a young
prayer
man
meeting,
named John Mark.
The fervency,
if you want
wrote
an
his announcement, watching all of this is a young man named John Mark. And if you want an introduction to the reality of the gospel of God operating in the everyday affairs
John
of life, this
Mark.
Is it.
John was his Jewish name.
And taking all of it in
Gentile
is this young man,
Roman name.
John Mark.
Now,
John was his Jewish name.
Tells us absolutely
Mark was
nothing
his
about John
Gentile
Mark.
Or nothing. Roman name.
It does tell us that
now,
he
notice, if you
mother,
will, the text tells us Mary. Absolutely nothing about
the fact
John
that the
Mark.
House is
nothing.
Listed in as
it
Mary's
does tell us
house,
that he lived with his mother,
was a widow.
Mary. The fact that the house
so
is listed in,
the New in
as Mary's house tells us that
others,
she was a
we
widow.
We are told she is the mother of
and
a son.
And because there are so many Marys
John
in the New Testament
the
to distinguish her from all the
Mark.
Others, we are told
here's
she is the
point.
Mother of a son named
if
John
father
with
in
the
picture,
nickname Mark.
We wouldn't even
here's
get
the point.
John Mark's name here.
If there were a father
we
in the picture,
we wouldn't even know about him.
We
in
wouldn't
other words,
even get
he is
John
no
Mark's
important.
Name.
He is simply the son of a widow.
We wouldn't even know about him.
Now the fact that Peter
in other
went
words,
that specific
he is no one important. He is
the
simply
the
son of a widow.
House, which meant that
now
Peter
the fact
had
that Peter went
to
that specific
house many, many
tells
times
us
before.
That the church met in that
so
house, which meant that Peter,
knew Peter
had
John
probably
Mark.
Been to that house
no doubt,
many, many times before.
John Mark was very
and so
young
we can know that Peter knew John Mark.
And we can know that John Mark
and no doubt
Peter.
John Mark
this
was very young at this
a
time.
Major
and we can know that John Mark
on John
knew
Mark's
of
life.
Peter.
As best
this
we can
made
discern,
a
it is now
major
AD,
impact
14 years
on John Mark's
after the death
life.
Of Jesus Christ,
as best we
Peter
can discern, it is now 44 AD, 14 years after the death of Jesus Christ.
Years.
Peter then has
John
been
Mark
preaching as the main
been
evangelist for these 14 years.
At the end
years.
Of chapter 12,
John
verse
Mark
25.
All along has been listening carefully.
In
at the end of chapter
Saul,
12, verse 25.
Returned from Jerusalem when they had
in
fulfilled
Barnabas
their mission.
And Saul,
what mission? Well, they took the money from
returned
Antioch
from
to
Jerusalem
to support those believers.
When they had
during
fulfilled
the,
their mission.
The,
what mission? Well, they took the money from Antioch to Jerusalem to support those believers
and
what, during
this,
the
taking
during
along
the,
with them John who is also called Mark.
And
there
look
he is
at this.
Again.
Taking along
so
with them
happened.
John,
Barnabas
who is also
Saul,
called
now known as Paul,
Mark. There he is
to
again.
Jerusalem because of
so
the
here's
famine,
what's
they
happened.
To the church, they were
Barnabas
and
Saul, now known as
Antioch,
Paul, brought the gift to Jerusalem because of the famine. They returned to the church they were pastoring in Antioch.
Must have been
Antioch. And
them
with them
the
is
ministry.
This John Mark.
It's interesting.
Now that
not
tells
preach,
us that John
leader,
Mark must have
elder,
been useful to them in the ministry.
Why did they
it's interesting.
Choose him,
he's not a preacher.
Well,
he's not a leader. He's not
to Colossians
an elder.
Chapter
he's
4,
just
verse
a servant.
10, Mark was
why
the
did they choose him then?
Of Barnabas,
well, according
who
to Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Mark
so
was the cousin
to be
of
an
Barnabas,
to Paul,
who was known as
John
the encourager.
Mark, took John Mark
so Barnabas
on
then,
this
wanting
trip.
To be an encouragement to
Paul
and
John
Mark,
would be
took John
to
Mark
the
with them
back.
On this trip.
And in
he
the
must have convinced Paul that John Mark would be helpful
so
to
Barnabas,
them on the journey back.
We know
and
that Barnabas as well was a Levite, meaning
Antioch.
That he had served the priest
so
in the temple. And if John Mark
we know
was
that Barnabas
also
as well
Levite,
was a Levite, meaning that he had served the priests in the temple. And if John Mark was
so John
also
Mark
a Levite, he
goes,
would have understood
John Mark
a
goes back to Antioch
a lifestyle
with Paul
and
Barnabas,
service.
And he
and so John Mark goes. John Mark goes back to Antioch with Paul and
now,
Barnabas,
Antioch,
and he proves
that
we have
prophets
there.
And teachers, Barnabas and Simeon.
Look at verse 1, chapter 13.
Lucius
now, there were at
the,
Antioch
Cyrene,
in the church that was
Quinean,
there prophets and teachers, Barnabas
Herod
and Simeon,
Petrarch,
who was called Niger,
Saul.
Lucius and, of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been
that
brought
the name
up
of
with
John
Herod
Mark
the Tetrarch, and Saul.
And again, that tells us that he was
you
no kind of a leader.
That the name of John Mark is not listed there. And again, that tells us that he was no kind of a leader.
Now, what this begins
to describe
for us is the first missionary journey. While they were ministering to the Lord,
now,
and
what this begins to describe for us is the first missionary journey.
Then, when
while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.
So
then, when they had fasted
and
prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
And from there they sailed to Cyprus.
So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, Saul and Barnabas went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus.
Look at this.
When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had, look at this, John, their helper. Who's that?
Now, notice,
that's John Mark again. That is John Mark again.
That's what you need to know about this man. He was a helper.
Now, notice, he's described as what?
He was a
their
helper.
Helper. That's what you need to know about this man.
And that,
he was
by
a
the
helper.
Way, is the only description
he
of
was
him
a helper.
That tells
he's
us
a,
anything
he's
about
a
the
servant.
Kind of ministry that he
and
had.
And that, by the way, is the only description of
and
him that tells
happened.
Us anything about the kind
they
of ministry
the
that he had.
The opposition of Elymas, the magician, in verse 8.
And then something happened.
In verse 13, now,
they face the
Paul
opposition of Elymas, the magician, in verse 8.
Put out to sea from Paphos,
and then verse 13, now,
Pampilla,
Paul
but John,
and his companions put
John
out
Mark
to sea from Paphos and came to
and
Perga in Pamphylia, but
Jerusalem.
John Mark, left them and returned
to very
Jerusalem.
Sad. At this point
that,
in time,
as
John
we are
Mark
going to see, is very
sad for a few years. He leaves.
At this point
and
in
notice,
time, John Mark disappears from the pages of the
that
New Testament for a few
those
years.
In
he leaves.
Antioch because
and notice he doesn't
out,
go back to
trusting
Antioch.
That he would serve the two preachers.
That wouldn't have pleased those
so
in
Antioch,
Antioch because they sent him
gone.
Out trusting that
Jerusalem.
He would serve the two preachers.
And there, he disappears.
So he doesn't go back to Antioch where he should have gone. He goes back to Jerusalem.
Him, he's on the scene
and there, he disappears
15.
For a few years.
It's been
the next
years,
time we hear about
Paul
him, he's on the scene
what
in
John
chapter
Mark has
15.
Done. No doubt he had forgiven
it's been
him,
several years.
But in Paul's mind,
Paul
John
has
Mark
not forgotten
deserter,
what John Mark
man,
has done.
Certainly
no doubt he had forgiven him. But in Paul's
Paul.
Mind, John Mark
clearly,
was a deserter, a weak
him,
man. Certainly not
so
an asset
very,
to the ministry or a help to
in
Paul.
The ministry. It is
clearly, Paul could not trust him. And that
Satan
is so very,
schemes.
Very important in the ministry.
The
it is hard enough fighting against Satan and his schemes.
For a brother in the ministry to be unfaithful. Faithful, that
the prince of the
makes
power
the
of air,
possible.
The air.
And so, Paul,
but for a brother
in
the ministry to be unfaithful,
John
that
Mark,
just makes the ministry near impossible.
36 of chapter 13.
And so, Paul, he's not interested in this John Mark. Look at verse 36 of chapter 13.
I'll get there. I'm sorry, 15. 15, verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, there. Let's return and visit the brethren
sorry,
in every city. In
15,
which
verse 36. After
Lord,
some days, Paul said to Barnabas,
Barnabas,
let's return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim
John
the word of the Lord.
Mark
see how they're doing.
With them also.
Barnabas,
but
catch
Paul,
this. Wants
they want
to take
to the
John called Mark along with them also.
Now, it's a second journey.
But Paul,
again, Barnabas wants to take
they want to return to the churches that they were on the first
Paul
journey. Now it's a second journey. Again, Barnabas wants
who
to
had,
take along
Luke
his nephew John Mark.
He had
Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along. Who had look at how Luke describes this. He had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work.
Paul and Barnabas were insistent on their
now
positions.
That tells
so
us two
an
things.
Argument, a disagreement here.
Number one, both
and
Paul
secondly,
and Barnabas were insistent on their positions. So we've
Mark
got an argument,
done.
A disagreement
he had deserted
here.
Paul and Barnabas
and secondly,
in
Luke
the
makes it clear about
how
what John Mark had done. He had deserted Paul and
there
Barnabas
such a
in the ministry.
Disagreement
how serious is the disagreement?
From one another, and Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus.
That they separated from one another, and Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord.
So get this. But
not only did John Mark's cowardice cause him to have his relationship severed with Paul, but it also called Paul to have a severed relationship with his companion Barnabas, the encourager.
Paul's refusal to take John Mark was legitimate.
So you can know how profound a disagreement this was. MacArthur writes, Paul's refusal to take John Mark was legitimate. He didn't trust him. He had showed he lacked courage, strength, and commitment. He was a defector. He was a deserter.
To know that Barnabas and John
Barnabas, no doubt, meaning to encourage John Mark, he takes him. And it's interesting to know that Barnabas and John Mark disappear for 2 years. We don't know where he is for 2 years.
Then after 10
John Mark, in all, disappears for 10 years.
Look at Colossians.
Then after 10 years later, he shows
up again.
His name shows
up.
Colossians.
In a letter written from Paul to the church at Colossae.
His name shows up
writing from Rome
in a letter,
you might
written from
Paul
to the church at Colossae.
Rome. He was in prison.
Paul is
he was
writing from Rome
minister.
When he writes this letter. You might remember that Paul was imprisoned twice in Rome. He was in prison, then he was released to minister. He was then imprisoned again and then martyred. But this is the first imprisonment where he writes three letters, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Look at Colossians 4, verse 10.
Barnabas
Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, Mark. Sends you his greetings.
That's John
and
Mark again.
Also,
10 years later now,
cousin,
Paul is a prisoner
Mark.
In Rome, and who
That's
is
John
with
Mark
him?
Again?
Who is at his side?
10 years later now, Paul is a prisoner in Rome, and who is with him?
John
who
Mark.
Is at his side?
And then he says, about
the
whom
defector.
You received instruction.
The deserter.
If he comes
John
to
Mark.
You, if John Mark comes to you,
and then he says,
time,
about
you
whom you
him.
Received instruction,
now,
if he comes to you, if John Mark follows through
dramatic.
This time, you welcome him.
To Philemon, verse 23, at the end
now,
of that
Now, something
letter,
dramatic
Epaphras,
has taken place. Something
Christ
very
Jesus
dramatic.
Greet you as
in his letter
Mark,
to Philemon, verse 23, at the end of that letter, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greet you as do Mark and Luke and
now,
some other.
Again.
And again. We
Paul,
have
from
we
Rome,
have John Mark being by Paul's
the church
side.
In Colossae to say,
now,
look,
again,
I'm sending John Mark to you.
Paul
when he gets
from
there,
Rome
you welcome him.
Writes so, the church
again,
in Colossae to say, look,
happened.
I'm sending John Mark
something
to you.
Drastic has happened
when he
to
gets
get
there, you
Paul
welcome him.
And John
so,
Mark
again, something
together
pretty drastic
again.
Has happened.
Now,
something drastic
Timothy.
Has happened to get Paul
this
and John Mark back together
Paul's.
Again.
Now, this is
turn to
his
2
final
Timothy.
Letter, 67, 60.
This is now his second imprisonment,
AD,
Paul's.
22, 23 years.
This is his final letter, 67, 60, 66, 67 AD.
Point,
22, 23 years after the incident
in the
of Peter's
of the Lord,
release from prison.
Verse 9.
At this point, Paul knows that soon he will be
very,
killed
very
and in the presence
verses,
of the Lord.
Verse 9. Every effort, he says to Titus.
These are a couple of very, very
soon.
Sad verses.
Here's
verse
why.
9.
For Demas,
make every effort,
having
he
loved
says
this
to Titus
world,
to come
has
to
deserted
me.
Oh, we've got another
Here's
deserter
why.
Now.
For Demas,
gone to Thessalonica.
Having loved this
Crescens
present world, has
Galatia,
deserted me. Oh, we've got
Titus
another deserter now. And gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia.
The others ministering with him, they'd left.
He says
only
some Mark
deserted
is
him,
only
with
Luke me.
Is with him. And then he says this most
the others ministering with him, they'd left
11.
For ministry,
Pick
some had deserted
Mark.
Him,
That's
only
John
Luke
Mark.
Is with him.
And
then he says this
with
most
you,
remarkable thing, verse 11.
Me,
Pick up Mark. That's John Mark.
Here's the point.
And bring him with you,
in
for he is useful
days,
to me for
the
service.
The one person Paul wanted
Here's
with
the point.
Him was this common
in
servant
his final
who
days,
failed him so
The one person
the
Paul wanted with
the
him was this common servant who had failed him
again.
So greatly
And so from the time
the
of his first imprisonment,
the useless
he had
one had become the useful one.
A few years
again.
Later,
and
in
so
his
from the time
of
his first imprisonment,
death,
he had John
Mark
by his
side.
A few years later, in his second imprisonment on the brink of death,
really
he wanted John Mark with him
had
again.
Paul so greatly be given the privilege
How special
of
that this man who was not really anyone special and who had failed Paul so greatly be given the privilege of serving alongside the Apostle Paul.
To become so intimately
the one who had defected
Paul,
from
so
that privilege
Paul,
and then
so
been restored years
Paul,
later to become
Paul
so intimately associated with
his
Paul,
own
so loved by Paul,
and then
so
when
trusted
Paul
by Paul that Paul would
life,
send him to the Colossian church on his own behalf.
To be brought to him
and then when Paul is facing death at the end of his life, the one person he asks to be brought to him in addition
now,
to Timothy.
Now, as wonderful as this is,
is John Mark.
That's not the end of the story. How
now, as wonderful as this
for
is,
one who is known for all time,
that's not the end of the story.
As a deserter,
how amazing
both to the ministry
for
and the Apostle
one who is
Paul
known for all time
to a place of special friendship
as a deserter,
faithfulness with him again.
Both to the ministry and the Apostle Paul
what?
To be restored to a
his
place of special friendship and faithfulness
Peter
with him again.
Takes the story of John Mark
but
to
guess
another
what?
Level altogether.
His relationship
Scripture
with the Apostle
tells us that
Peter
John Mark became the
takes the story of John Mark to another level
so
altogether.
In his home as a young man.
Scripture tells us that John
so
Mark became the trusted friend and companion of the man.
A man who you would think would disappear from the scene.
And so don't miss the picture.
And yet we learn that
John Mark is a man who you would think would disappear from the scene
of
Scripture. And yet we learn that after failing so greatly, he becomes a close partner of not just one apostle. But two.
John Mark went back to Jerusalem.
Remember those 10 years that John Mark went back to Jerusalem and disappeared?
And put him under
John
his
Mark
arm,
went back to Jerusalem, but he didn't
Look
stay
at 1
there.
Peter chapter 5.
Picked him up and put him
Peter
under
is writing
his arm.
His first epistle from Rome.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 5.
He's writing in Rome.
Peter is writing his first epistle from Rome.
And everyone else who would read his epistle.
He's writing in Rome.
Verse 13.
To the Roman believers there.
She who
and everyone else who would read his epistle.
Chosen together with you.
She who is in Babylon,
greetings.
Chosen together with you,
refers to the church.
Sends her
who is in Babylon. That's
you
a code
greetings.
Word for Rome.
She
the reason he uses
refers
that
to the
code
church
word is because
who is in Babylon. That's a code word for Rome.
The
reason the he uses
there.
That code
so
word
she,
is because
church,
severe deadly persecution had already
you,
begun against
elect,
the church
elect
there.
In
so
Babylon
she,
or Rome,
the church. Chosen
send
together
you
with you,
greetings. He's
elect, the elect
this
in Babylon
from the
or Rome,
in Rome to the other
sends
churches that
you
will read it.
Greetings. He's,
and then
he's
look
sending
at this, verse
this letter
so
from the church in Rome
son,
to the other churches
son?
That will read
Mark.
It. And then look at this, verse 13.
Whoa.
And so does my son,
not his
my son,
son,
Mark,
but his spiritual son.
Whoa.
And the clear implication is
not
that John Mark
son,
had either been saved
but
under
his
the ministry
spiritual
of Peter,
son.
Or that
and the
Peter
clear implication is that John
defection.
Mark had either been saved under the ministry
now
of
think
Peter,
about that
or more. That Peter mentored him after his
if
defection.
If anyone understood the process of restoration
think about
after
that for
failure,
a moment.
It was Peter.
If anyone understood the process
graciously
of restoration after failure,
after
it was Peter.
Three times. He would later deny
he graciously
that he even
was
knew
restored
him.
By Christ after
to pull John
denying
Mark
him three
in
times.
And love him and disciple
he would later
him
deny that he even knew him.
Is profound.
To pull John
and so
Mark
now,
in
John
and
Mark
love him and
Peter
disciple
Rome,
him for useful ministry
and what is, clear
is profound.
Is that Peter has
and
become
so now
the
here John Mark is with Peter
Mark.
In Rome.
And, the
and what is clear is that Peter has become the spiritual father
the
to John Mark.
Of Mark.
And the remarkable result of all of this
of Peter,
is the gospel
the record
of
Peter's of
Mark.
Words and memories written down by John Mark. For
many have
to
called
read.
This the gospel
in
of Peter.
In other words, what we have here
because it's the record of Peter's words and memories written down by John Mark for all to read.
To the place
in other words, what we have here is a defector, a failure
gospel.
In the ministry restored
That's
to the place where God uses him. to give us one of the four gospels.
Depending on the sin, God always forgives.
That's a most wonderful lesson for us to remember.
And sometimes,
depending on the sin, God always forgives where there is confession and repentance. And sometimes, not always.
So this is Peter's account.
But sometimes he actually restores
not an apostle, not a prophet, not a preacher, not an elder.
So this is Peter's account. Through John Mark, not an apostle, not a prophet, not a preacher, not an elder. Just a helper.
This
who became a defector
is given the unspeakable privilege of writing what he calls the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Is given the unspeakable privilege of writing what he calls the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Come to him through Peter, he writes
under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who controlled all the information that had come to him through Peter, he writes what is known and accepted as the gospel of Mark. And as I said earlier, the universal church testimony going all the way back to the first century tells us
manuscripts
that
had at the beginning
Mark is the author of this gospel.
The person.
Those original manuscripts had at the beginning kata, meaning from, and then the person. Kata Matthion, Matthew, kata Markon, Mark, kata Lukon,
Luke, and according
and kata Yohanan,
that title
John.
According to goes way
according
back
to Matthew,
even
according to Mark, according to Luke, and
never
according
disputed,
to John.
Never
and that title according to goes way back even before
long
the early church
fathers
never disputed,
that.
Never debated.
Peter's about to die. Or he
long
has
list
just
of church
died.
Fathers who agreed with that.
Mark wants to get
Peter's
it down
about
for
to
all
die.
Time. That those who had followed
or
Peter,
he has
the
just
disciples
died.
Of Peter, they knew the
Mark
relationship
wants to get it down
there,
for all time.
Their relationship
that those who
they,
had followed Peter, been disciples of Peter, they knew the relationship
down,
there. They knew the intimacy of their relationship. And so they basically hound
he
Mark, you've got
to
get this down. You've got to get this
story.
Down. Write this down. And,
telling
and
us
he does. And he writes to say it's just the beginning of the story.
When we get there, that the ending hasn't been
telling us.
It continues on.
Telling us, as
beginning.
We're going to see when we get there, that the ending hasn't
the ending
been written
of this
yet.
Book is very strange, but
it continues
fits with
on.
The fact
this
that
is just,
this
the
just the beginning.
The ending of
now,
this book is very strange, but it fits with the fact that this is just the beginning.
Recording for us Peter's words
now,
is
the fact
obvious
that
from the language.
This is Mark.
The
recording
of Mark's
for
gospel
us Peter's
is
words
forward,
is obvious
just as
from the language.
As Peter was. It contains
the structure of Mark's
the
gospel is straightforward,
of any of
just as straightforward
John's gospel
as Peter
starts with
was.
A prologue about the beginning of
it contains
creation,
the quickest
of the word,
beginning of
Luke
any of the
Matthew
gospels.
Begin their gospels.
John's gospel starts with a prologue about the beginning
of
creation,
Jesus, not
the
Mark.
Role of the word. Luke
Mark
and Matthew begin
right
their
with
gospels
the
with genealogies and stories about the birth
and by
of,
verse 16
of Jesus,
of chapter
not Mark.
One, Jesus is already
Mark jumps right in with the ministry of John the Baptist.
He's in a hurry.
And by verse 16 of chapter 1, Jesus is already his first
the writing reflects the personality
that's Peter,
of
right?
Peter.
He's in a hurry.
Peter was a man of action, impetuous.
He reflects the writing reflects the personality of Peter. Peter was a man of action, impetuous. More often than not, speaking and acting before thinking.
So
he's often
more
called
than any other
the,
gospel,
the
Mark
apostle with the foot-shaped mouth.
Over teaching.
That's Peter. And so it's fitting that more than any other gospel, Mark highlights action over teaching.
In this book is euphos,
which leaves us with the impression of a dramatic story. His favorite word
or immediately
in this book is euthos,
immediately,
which means straight
just
away. That's
one.
The King James
chapter
translation.
And immediately
or
left
immediately,
verse 18.
New American.
Immediately,
immediately.
He called them, verse 20.
Just chapter one. Chapter one.
Verse
and immediately they left their nets, verse 18.
Verse
immediately he
that's
called
Peter.
Them, verse 20. Immediately he entered, verse 21. Immediately there was, verse 23. That's Peter.
His readers by moving quickly between
like a
the
fast-paced
scenes.
Movie, Mark helps
compared with the
keep
other gospel
the interest
accounts,
of his readers by moving quickly between
and
the scenes.
Parables, listen, Luke has 25.
Compared
Matthew
with the other gospel
20,
accounts, Mark doesn't
7.
Contain much teaching. In terms of parables,
no Samaritan,
listen,
no
Luke has 25,
son, no
Matthew
Lazarus,
has 20,
no town,
Mark has only
no
7.
Virgins, no house on the rock, no lost sheep.
No good Samaritan, no prodigal son, no rich man
the,
in Lazarus, no talents,
cover,
no 10 virgins, no house on the
vivid.
Rock, no lost sheep.
often
but in
more
Mark's
vivid and more detailed than what's provided
cover,
in the other
the details
gospels.
Are all vivid.
And you can almost feel the
often more vivid and more
Peter
detailed than what's provided in the other gospels. And you can almost feel the vigorous, impetuous Peter recounting the story to Mark. Scribbling to get it down.
Biography here.
Now, one last detail. We have to cover this before we leave this biography here. This look at John Mark's life. Look at Mark chapter 14.
This is great. John 14, verse 43.
John chapter 14. This is great. John 14, verse 43.
14:43. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs who were with
14:43. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs who were with who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders.
He leads the Jewish leaders.
Okay, Jesus is speaking with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know the story.
He who was betraying him had given them a signal
to Jesus to have him arrested.
After coming,
he who was betraying him had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him, lead him away under guard." After coming, Judas immediately went to him saying, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They laid hand on Jesus and seized him.
Jesus said to them,
"But one of those who stood by drew his sword, struck the slave of the high priest, and cut off his ear." Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple, you could have arrested me then."
Young man was following
them. But this all happened to fulfill Scripture. This is all ordained.
Young man was following
them. And they left him and fled. Young man was following them.
Wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body.
Who's him?
And
Jesus,
they seized him.
Wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body.
But he pulled free of
and
the linen sheet.
And they seized him.
And escaped naked.
What is going on here?
What?
But he pulled free of the linen sheet
was.
And escaped naked.
John Mark.
What?
It's possible.
Guess who that,
that
was?
Judas first led the mob to Mark's
John
mother's
Mark.
House in search of Jesus. That's
it's possible that Judas first led
there,
the mob to Mark's
to
mother's house in search
John
of
Mark.
Jesus.
Now
that's
rushing
where the
out
church
of the
met.
House, half dressed to
not finding
them.
Him there, he then
and
went
all
to the garden with John Mark. Now rushing
Jesus,
out of
John
the house, half dressed to follow them.
Where he is also
and when all the other disciples abandon Jesus, John Mark stays behind. Where he is also captured.
Or running.
But he breaks free now, either buck naked or running in his underwear to get back
from the wonder of being in one of the first
churches. What an interesting life this man led. From the wonder
to an embarrassing run,
of being in one of the first churches
to the privilege of serving the Apostle Paul to great failure
to an embarrassing run.
Restored. To being discipled
to the privilege
by the
of serving
Peter,
the Apostle
to being
Paul
with Peter
to
during
great
his
failure,
final days,
to
writing
restored,
this gospel based on
to
Peter's
being discipled
words,
by the Apostle Peter, to being with Peter during his final
to
days,
Apostle
to writing
Paul
this gospel based on Peter's words,
being wanted by Paul to be with him
the great
in his
privilege
last
of
days,
being able to serve the Apostle Paul in ministry.
This man had to experience
being wanted by Paul to be with him in his last
failure,
days. What a wonderful life this man had to experience.
To be chosen by God
from the greatest
to
failure
one
to great embarrassment. To be chosen
this will
by
be
God
study.
To write
Sunday mornings
one
for the
of
next
just four
couple
gospels.
Of years.
This will be our study.
Lord willing.
Sunday mornings for the next
well, Father,
couple
thank
of
you
years.
For our time together this morning. We are so grateful,
Lord willing,
for your precious.
Well, Father,
word
thank you for our time together this morning.
To tie
we are so grateful
together
for your precious word.
Give us this
that enables us to tie all these details together.
We're so grateful.
Give us this background
for all you're doing in this place, as we're faithful to.
We're so grateful.
Uphold your precious word.
For all you're doing in this place,
as we begin
as we're
to study this
to
letter together, help us to remember
your precious word.
That when we're faithful to confess,
as we begin to study this letter
sin,
together, help us to remember
you are faithful to use us for your honor.
That when
and
we're
your
faithful
glory,
to confess and repent of
great,
our sin,
great privilege that is.
You are faithful to use us for your honor and your glory. What a great privilege
and
that
meet
is.
This man who.
I can't wait
interesting life.
To get to heaven and meet this man.
It's wonderful that Peter, who had
such an
so
interesting life,
would care enough to raise
another up. Wonderful that Peter,
who
had failed so miserably, would care enough.
Learned his lesson as well.
To raise another up who had failed. That tells us that Peter learned his lesson as well.
Father, to study your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this place. Thank you for all you're doing here. We pray, Father, you'd bring
others. What a privilege it is, Father, to study your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this place. Thank you for all you're doing here. We pray, Father, you'd bring others that could be interested and have a desire to sit under the teaching of the word. All this, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.